Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos, daf Nun Beis. Okay, we're Nun Aleph. I'm an Aleph. We are starting the Braisa Tanur Rabbanan. Recall, we started the fifth parak of the Masechta just a day ago. Actually, 2 days ago, where we were discussing what are the ramifications of the four possibilities that could be done by Yavam. Yavam can either do Yibum or Chalitza, or he could do two things Midir Rabbanan, and that is Maimer or Get. What are the ramifications if he does either of those? So the Mishnah, with a lot of thoroughness, goes through a lot of scenarios, in terms of every scenario, I should say, in terms of what happens if he were to do so. The Gemara, yesterday we finished up with an explanation from Rabbi Gamliel, which is a shita which we don't paskin like, but Rabbi Gamliel says that there's no get after a get, and there's no maimer after a maimer. In other words, in a scenario where there's one yavam and shtei yavamos, could work the other way around also. But in the case of one yavam and shtei yavamos, if he hands maimer to one and he hands maimer to the second, maimer is the kiddushin de rabbanan. So Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion that the second one is totally ineffective. Why is the second one ineffective? So the Gemara yesterday theorized and postulated and gave two explanations for Rabbi Gamliel. One which the Gemara does not seem to accept, and the other one which the Gemara does seem to accept. The first explanation is Rava's explanation that is starts on the very bottom of Nun Amud Beis and takes us to the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. And Rava's explanation is because Rabbi Gamliel is in a state of suffix. He doesn't know what Maimer does. Everything or nothing. Those are your two options. So if it's everything, so then Maimer was koneh with the first one, and therefore leaving nothing left for the second one. If it's nothing, so 0 times 2 equals 0. That's one theory in terms of what's behind Rabbi Gamliel. The other theory, the Gemara says, in of itself, Rava's explanation of Rabbi Gamliel is fantastic, but the problem was that we had a Braisa yesterday where the Braisa went through a more complicated scenario where the Yavam had, let's say, three Yavamas, and he did Maimer followed by Bia followed by Get to all three of them. And the Braisa says that even Rabbi Gamliel is going to agree in such a scenario that that works. Now, if you think about it, the theory that was presented to explain Rabbi Gamliel would does not explain that scenario. Because in that scenario, you had Maimer followed by Bia, followed and then by Get. So remember now, let's go over our two options. If Maimer is everything, so Maimer creates a Kenyan. Good. If Maimer is nothing, so Maimer is nothing. And then what's follow the Maimer? Bia, which is Bia Betchila. That's and Bia Betchila should end the story. So Rabbi Gamliel's theory, Rava's explanation of Rabbi Gamliel, although good, is insufficient. Amar Abaye, so the Gemara then went on to give us a second explanation of Rabbi Gamliel, and that is Abaye, and that is that there are two aspects to the relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama, a negative one and a positive one. This is, again, a second explanation of Rabbi Gamliel. The positive one allows them to do Maimer, and even though Maimer exhausts... Excuse me. Even though Maimer exhausts all the positive that he could do, but there's still a negative aspect that can be affected. And so that's why it can't be Maimer achar Maimer, because once one does Maimer, so that's it. The Maimer, the positive, has been exhausted, but then it can be followed up with a Get. Because a Get only doesn't deal with the positive, it deals with the negative. Okay, so that's why there can't be Maimer achar Maimer, but there can be Maimer after Get or Get after Maimer. And Get, same story. Meaning Get is a negative aspect. Meaning it creates the beginning of a severance between the Yavam and the Yavama. Once it gives Get to one, that exhausts the negative. And so so there can be no repetition of Get with any other of the other Yavamos, but there can be Maimer done to another of the Yavamos. That is Abaye's explanation. And the Gemara says, and it works out. And it works out even in the Braisa. Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, two-thirds of the way down, Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, we're going to go through this quickly because this is really just a repeat. Most of this information we already know based on what we learned yesterday. Tanur Rabbanan, Ketzad Amram Gamliel, Ein Get Achar Get. Give me an example. What does that mean, Ein Get Achar Get? So, Shtei Yavamos, Shenafu Lufnei Yavam Echad. So, two Yavamos, one Yavam. Right? The two Yavamos here is talking about where they were co-wives. Married to one man, and the man died, and so the brother now is a mitzvah yibum with his two sister-in-laws. V'nasin gelazu v'gelazu, and the yavam gives a get to each. Rabbi Gamliel Amar Cholos Rishon Avasa B'Krov Aseham U'Moter B'Krov Ashniya. So Rabbi Gamliel says that there is a connection between him and the first yavam. He gave her a get, so that we talked about this yesterday. Connection through disconnection, meaning because he gave her a get, and because that created a status between him and her. Now, the status is quasi-divorced, but that's a status. And because Rabbi Gamliel says ain't get achar get, whatever he does to the second Yavama, not whatever, but if he gives a get to the second Yavama, that's nothing. Totally ineffectual. So, and therefore, by the way, let me just spell this out, as the Braisa does, therefore he would not be allowed to marry any of the relatives of the first Yavama, and he would be allowed to marry the relatives of the second Yavama. And Chalitza only needs to be to one of them. That's going to become clear as we go on. And the Chachamim say no. The get both times are effectual and will create a connection through the disconnection. Connection through the get. And therefore, you are the Yavam in that case is going to be prohibited to the relatives of both of these women. But a chalitza only needs to be done with one of them in order to break the zika. And the same story would work if it's two yavam and one yavam. Now, the Braisa, just to be thorough, is going to do the same thing again, but instead of get, we're going to use maimer. But it's the same story. So, shtei yavamas nishanafel lifnei yavam echad, again, two yavamas fall to one yavam. We also maimer bezur, maimer bezur, Rabbi Gamliel, maimer nosin gel rishon v'chol etzlam. So now he gave Mimer to both Yavamas. He's got to give a get to the first one because, again, according to Rabbi Gamliel, the Mimer they gave to the first one is a quasi-Kedushin, and therefore, in order to remove the Kedushin, he has to give her a get. And is allowed to marry the relatives of the second one because, again, Rabbi Gamliel is Shitoso. Ain Mimer Acha Mimer V'Chacham Amorim Nosin Get L'Shtayim V'Asa B'Krov Ashtayim V'Chalitza L'Achas Mehen. And the Chachamim say that the Mimer to both was effectual, and therefore he's connected to both of them. He's got to give a get to both of them, but Chalitza only needs to be done to one of them. V'Chein HaTamer B'Shnei Yavam V'Yavam Achas. And then the Brice concludes by saying, everything we just said would also be true if it's not one Yavam and two Yavamas, but also if it was two Yavamim and one Yavama. Amar Mar. Adkan, that's the end of the Bryce, and the Gemara now is going to comment. No sin gelazu v'gelazu, Rabbi Gamliel omer cholitz rishon v'asu b'krov v'sumut b'krov v'shniya. So Rabbi Gamliel says you do chalitza to the first one. Now, lema to have it to you to deshmuel. So for a moment in time, we're going to go back to a very difficult daf that we saw a short 25 days ago, and that is the chalitza psula discussion. Right, an insufficient, a deficient chalitza, where we said we had, if you recall, we had three shitas in terms of what exactly is accomplished by a deficient chalitza. What does that mean, a deficient chalitza? It means that the zika has been tampered with, the zika has been tampered with. You can't do yibum, and so therefore the only recourse is going to be chalitza. But because you can't do yibum, so therefore it is a chalitza psula. How good is a chalitza psula? That was a big question that we dealt with on Daf Chav Zayin. So the Gemara is just going to revisit it momentarily. So the Gemara says, presumably our Mishnah specifically, I'm saying it like Rashi, specifically the position of Rabbi Gamliel is difficult for Shmuel's position. The one who receives the get, if she receives chalitza, now remember, the one who receives the get, you can't do yibam to her. We're talking about where there are two co-wives. You can't do yibam to her. You give her a chalitza, the chalitza is good, but only for her, not for her co-wife. Okay, so she's going to need to give a second chalitza. That was Shmuel's opinion back in Daf Chav Zayin. So now, Ben, you were bothered by this yesterday. So now if you think about Rabbi Gamliel's position, so what happened? Ain't get achar get, ain't mamar achar maimar. Let's just focus on ain't get achar get. That means that the first get was effectual, and the second was nothing. So now you have two yavamos, one who is a balas get, and the other is zero. Meaning, there would seemingly be no problem with doing yibam with her. And yet Rabbi Gamliel says, you could do chalitza to the first one. That's a deficient chalitza. That shouldn't release the second one. So, what would therefore seem to be is that, again, Rabbi Gamliel is a Tana. He's fine. Shmuel's the problem. Shmuel cannot seem to fit within the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. That's the next line of the Gemara. When the very bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, Ki Amri Ana Aliba Deman Da Amri Yeshika Rabbi Gamliel Sovereign Zika. So Shmuel says, look, the undercurrent that takes us through the entire Masechta is whether there is or there isn't a Zika. Shmuel says Rabbi Gamliel's position is rooted in the position of Ein Zika. Because Ein Zika, so now there's much less to break In fact, let's say it even better. There's nothing to break. There's no Zika to break. So you could do chalitza to whomever you want, and don't worry about deficient, efficient, sufficient. In other words, there's no Zika according to Rambam and Gamliel. So therefore, chalitza could be done with either one. Shmuel says, but I, on the other hand, hold to the position v'yesh Zika. Again, this is a machlokas throughout the entire Masechta, machlokas tanaim amoraim. I hold yesh Zika. So therefore, for me, the deficient chalitza will not upend the other co-wife who has a superior Zika. Good. So Shmuel defends his position by touching on one of the basic points of the Masechta. So the Gemara says, okay, but we still have not totally removed Shmuel out of a challenge. Because, look, if Rambam Gamliel holds Ein Zika and he's arguing in the Brisa with the Chachamim, so it's only safe to assume that the Chachamim hold Ein Zika. Top of the next Amud. And meanwhile, what did the Brisa, out of the Brisa end? The same halacha would be true if it were two yavams and one yavama. Now, let me tell you if the derava b'Rav Huna. So the Gemara says now seemingly would be a problem of amar to Rabba b'Rav Huna. Amarav, da amarav b'Rav Huna. Amarav chalitza psula tzrich lachzor akol ha'achin. If it's a deficient chalitza, so then even though one brother did the chalitza psula, all other surviving brothers have to also do the chalitza psula in order for there to be a full release. Meaning a bona fide chalitza, an efficient, quote unquote a regular chalitza. Remember, one brother does it to one of the co-wives, and he represents everybody, she represents everybody, and that's it. But if it's a chalitza psula, so according to Rabba b'Rav Huna, you gotta go to every one of the brothers. Here, the perfect, it's a classic example of chalitza psula, and meanwhile, the only one of them did chalitza, and again, presumably it's a problem on Rava b'Rav Huna. So chalitza psula tzrich lachzor kol ha'achin amlacha Rava b'Rav Huna bein l'Rav Gamliel bein l'Rabbanan sari ein zika. So the Gemara to that responds, no, your assumption was a false assumption. You thought that Rabbi Gamliel holds ein zika, to which then you thought that the chachamim hold yei zika. That's not true. Let's argue right now that both the chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel maintain the position of ein zika. And over here, the machlokis is extremely limited. It's just a question of, is there a mimer after a mimer? Is there a get after get? Having nothing to do with Yesher Ein Zika. Let's assume they both hold Ein Zika. And it's just a question of, can the mimer given after mimer, again, two yavamas, can the mimer given after the second mimer be effectual or not effectual? That's it. And why? So go back to what we said in the beginning of today's shir. Either because of Rava's explanation or because of Abai's explanation. Either way. But that's it. That's the only thing that they're arguing about. So Rishon and Amitis Yabim, simple question asked the Gemara. If Rabbi Gamliel really is true to form and he holds that Ein Maimer Acha Maimer, so that means that the second Maimer that he did to the second Yavama is nothing. It's zero. So where are we right now? Let's take a subtotal now of where we're standing. So he has two Yavamas. He has one Maimer that's out there. It worked. That's it. Okay, let's move on. Let's do Yibum. And that's not what Rabbi Gamliel said. Rabbi Gamliel says now he's got to do Chalitza. He's got to give a get, one get, and he's got to do chalitza. Why? Let's do yibum. So gzera demas leivum lishnia. So the Gemara says no, because it's a gzera. In other words, you're right. In theory, yibum can be done with the first. The second mimer that he did was totally ineffectual. But the fact of the matter is that there are two mimers out there, and if we allow him to do yibum to the first wife, he may do yibum to the second.
Is it gzera by individual Rabbi Gamliel or by Rabbanan?
No, this is, no, on the Chachamim, both mimers actually worked. So now you're stuck.
No, but the Gezerah that you mentioned, who came with the Gezerah? What's the source of the Gezerah?
I mean, that's...
I mean, if
we're working...
If Rabbi Gamliel is a Gezerah Yachid, right? So he came with his own Gezerah on top of his...
I understand, but we're working the other way. Meaning it's reverse engineering. Meaning we know what Rabbi Gamliel says, now we just have to explain it. We know Rabbi Gamliel says he has to do Chalitza. Now why? Why doesn't he allow Yibam? So now the Gemara, in looking at the facts, at the results, is now providing an explanation. It must be because he holds of a Gzera. Who came up with it? Who
Can a Yachid come with the Gezerah?
Yeah, the Rambam writes, that we mentioned this a number of times before, the Rambam says that the Chachamim argued about Gezerahs. Right, the simple example the Rambam himself provides us, but you know enough Gemara, right? Basar of v'chalav, right? Chicken and milk, right? Rav Yossi Aglili says that's fine, and the Chachamim say it's not fine. Obviously, we hold it's not fine. But what does that mean? Now, what are they arguing about? And the Rambam says they're arguing about whether there was a gzera. Now, how do you understand that even better? Okay, that's tricky. Meaning, I'm still trying to formulate how can you argue about a gzera? But the Rambam says it happens all the time. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, usually this role is played by Abaye. The move now what we're going to do? We're going to string together a number of Tanaim who all agree to the same same line of thinking. Abaye was very big on this. And so now the Gemara is going to point out Rabbi Yochanan was involved in this as well, where he's going to point to a number of Tanaim who all are in agreement. To what point? Well, first let's list the Tanaim. Rabbi Gamliel, Beit Shammai, Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, Rabbi Nechemia. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 Tanaim, Kulu Sfir Lehu, Maimer Kona, Kinyan Gamor. So all 4 of these Tanaim are of the opinion that Maimer is Kona. Okay. Now again, Maimer is a Kedushin de Rabbanan. It's what the rabbis did as a process of Yibum. Yibum in a Torah is just Bia, but the Chachamim wanted this to look more like a marriage, so therefore they instituted, legislated the Maimer as kind of like a Kedushin. When I say kind of like a Kedushin, we treat it just like Kedushin. That's going to be, we're going to see that later this morning. But it's a Din D'Rabbanan. And yet, 4 Tanaim say that Maimer is Kona Kinyan Gamor. How do I explain that on the larger scale? Hard. Very difficult. Meaning, if the Torah doesn't acknowledge it, and this is legislated by the Chachamim, how can this create an actual Kinyan? Okay, that's above my pay scale. Meaning, you have to be really sharp to try to formulate why that should work. All I'm going to do, I'm just going to go through the Gemara, and we're going to point to 4 Tanaim. One of them already, Beit Shammai, we've seen at length. But 4 Tanaim who all agree to this idea that it's Kona Kinyan Gamor. Rabbi Gamliel had Amar. So Rabbi Gamliel, okay, good. We just spent all this time with Rabbi Gamliel, meaning Ein Maimer Acha Maimer. Why is there Ein Maimer Acha Maimer? Because the first Maimer that's done was Kinyan Gamor. Good. Let's move on. Beit Shammai, we already also spent a lot of time discussing how Beit Shammai holds that Maimer is Kona Kinyan Gamor. Did not the Gemara reviews a mission that we already saw together a number of times? Shosh Achim Shai Mehem Nesun Shtei Achayos. 3 brothers, 2 of them are married to 2 sisters, V'acha Mufne. And the third brother is right now not married. So, I'm sorry, 2 brothers are married to 2 sisters. I'm not sure if I said that correctly. Yeah. Okay, 2 brothers are married to 2 sisters, and the third brother is free. And one of the brothers dies, so let's say Reuben dies. And Vasaba Mufna Maimer, and the third brother, we'll call him Levi, does Maimer with the widow of Reuben. The Achakach Meis Achiv Hasheni, and now Shimon dies. Shimon now is leaving a widow, but now the sister of Levi's Maimer. Right? Following? I mean, we've done this before. Right? The sister of Levi's Maimer. So now what do we say? Well, Beit Shammai says he's married. Maimer created a marriage. And therefore, and so the other one, just simply, in other words, is nothing. Meaning, she's the sister of my wife. I can't be married to the sister of my wife. So there's no Yibam, there's no Zika, nothing. She just simply goes free. That's Beit Shammai's position. Obviously, we don't possibly like Beit Shammai. Well, we go like Beit Hillel, which means that the Maimer, although legislated mid the Rabbanon, but doesn't affect their status mid the Torah, so that means he's looking at 2 sisters for Yibam, which is he can't do, and he's going to have to give chalitza to both, and okay. Rabbi Shimon D'Tanya, 3rd Tana, who holds that Maimer is Kona. Amar Luhu, Rabbi Shimon L'Chachamim, Mibias Rishon Bia, Bia Sheni Eno Bia. Mibias Rishon Eno Bia, Bia Sheni Nami Eno Bia. This is a mission that we're going to see later in the Masechta. Sadi Vavam in Beis 96. Okay, much later. And that is the Mishnah describes what happens if a boy between the age of 9 to 13, what if he has relations with the Yavama? Okay, now, we're going to deal with this just clinically, meaning just from a halachic standpoint. And obviously the discussion, I understand, is strange. But he's not a bar mitzvah. I mean that literally. He is eino bar mitzvah. He's not chayv in mitzvahs. So he can't do the mitzvah of Yibam. On the other hand, a nine-year-old has enough physical maturity where the Chachamim viewed as Bia to be a Bia. So it's an oddity. And we're going to be discussing this at length later in the Masechta, where you have somebody who on one hand is not a, who's not chayv in mitzvahs, but on the other hand, you have to recognize the act of Bia that he did. Consequently, that means then that when one of them has relations with the Yavama, so it did something because the mitzvah of Bia, I'm sorry, the mitzvah of Yibam is what? Bia. That's the mitzvah. So what did it do? So, and I know this is going to sound strange, but if you say it enough times, it'll stop sounding strange. So just repeat it. I don't know if you want to repeat it in public. This is not, you know, this is not for public consumption, but the Bia's katan is kemaimer. The Bia of a minor is treated halachically just as if maimer were done. It creates the same kind of connection, a quasi-marriage status. Okay, so what did Rabbi Shimon say? In Bias Rishon Bia, Bias Sheni Eino Bia. Look, if the Bia of the first young, let's call him a 10-year-old, just for simplicity's sake. If the Bia of the first 10-year-old is considered Bia, meaning, what does that mean, considered Bia? Meaning, if it affects the same status as Mimer, so then the second one who does Bia with her, meaning there's another brother as well, so that is regarded as nothing. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon holds Mimer's Kona.
But how can a minor be Kona?
Again, a minor cannot be Kona. But the Chachamim just can't ignore the act of Bia that was done, so the Chachamim, debatable, but the Chachamim may have given that status of Bia the same status as Mimer. It's not that he's creating a Kenyan.
Is the issue because now again, it wasn't the first brother, the second brother having,
right, well, the
over the wife of a second brother.
Right. Well, that's exactly what Rabbi Shimon says. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon says, look, if the first one created a quasi marriage status, then the second brother did not, meaning that didn't do anything halachically.
No, but he doesn't get punished for it.
Okay, that's in other words, that's nus.
Right.
Right. Correct. But again, we're just dealing it from what did the first Bia accomplish?
The first Bia is mother.
You're going to have to wait till it grows up. Good question, but I'm imagining my answer is correct. In Bia's Rishon Eino Bia, Bia Shinei Namina Bia. Now, if the Bia of the first one is nothing, meaning if the Chachamim didn't give it Maimer status, so then that means that the second one also has no status. And now the Gemara says it, V'habia's Ben Teisha Decha Maimer Shavir Rabbanan, V'kam Rabbi Shimon Eino Bia. And so Rabbi Shimon says that the second one is not a Bia because the first one was a Bia, i.e. the first one is analogous to Maimer, i.e. Maimer's Kona. Okay, that one was tricky. And by the way, Ben, I was expecting you to raise this. You mentioned this yesterday. Rabbi Shimon earlier in the Masechta said that Maimer's Kona. It's a little bit funny that the Gemara goes to a Mishnah that is coming up, you know, 40 short days from now, more. 46 short days from now, when meanwhile, we had a Mishnah earlier that discussed how Rabbi Shimon holds that Maimer's Kona. But okay, either way. Rabbi Shimon holds the Maimer's Kona. And finally, the last Tana ben Azai, the Tanya ben Azai, Omer Yesh Maimer Acha Maimer B'Shnei Yevamah V'Yevamah Achas, Vein Maimer Acha Maimer B'Shnei Yevamah V'Yevamah Echad. I was wondering if there was going to be a split, and there is, a split decision. And that split decision is offered by ben Azai. Meaning, we've been saying that these discussions of Maimer Acha Maimer would be true if it's one Yevam B'Shnei Yevamos, or if it's two Yevamim and Yevamah Achas. That's what we said on the Braisa on the previous Amud. That's what we said back in the Mishnah. And now, Ben Azai says no. Ben Azai says that there is Maimer Acha Maimer if it's two Yevamim and one Yevama, but there's no Maimer after Maimer if it's two Yevamos and one Yavam. Okay. Why should that be? So Rashi explains. Now, I'm going to skip. I'm just telling you what I'm skipping right now. Rashi has two girsos of our Gemara. We're going to go with the girsa that Rashi prefers. Okay, but if you want to see more on this topic, you could look at Rashi in the bottom, where Rashi goes over another Gersa. But Rashi explains that if it is two Yevamim, each one given the ability of Maimer, and therefore each one of them can affect Maimer to the Yevama, which means that the second one who did Maimer is going to have now status, quasi-marriage status with that woman, even though his brother already did Maimer, Which means then that he too, the second brother, is going to be forbidden to all of her relatives. Good. But if it's one Yavam Shtei Yavamos, one Yavam can only affect Maimer once, not twice. And therefore, Ben-Azeh is also of the opinion that Maimer creates a Kinyan Gomer. And Rabbi Nechemia Didnan, and finally, Rabbi Nechemia, Achas Bilav Achas Chalitza Ben Bechila Ben Memsa Ben Besof Ein Acharei Klom. So, Bia or Chalitza done beginning, middle, or end. Remember, like right when we discussed yesterday, meaning that there were three of Amos, and he did Mimer to one, Bia to the second, get to the third, and go through any one of those permutations. If Chalitza is done in any one of those positions, Chalitza is the end of the story. If Bia is done in any one of those positions, meaning in the first Yavama, second Yavama, third Yavama, it too will end the story. Now, that's from Nechemia's position, and the Mishnah had the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Nechemia. But again, we're just looking at who holds the Maimer's Kona, Rabbi Nechemia. Why? Because what is that Bia, if not done in the first with the first Yavama? If done with the second or third Yavama, what is that Bia? That's called the Bia Psula. It's a deficient Bia, because he already did an action point with one of the other Yavamos. So this act of Bia that he's doing is deficient. A deficient Bia is like Mimer. Okay? It's the serious, right. It creates a quasi-connection. Just like we said that Bia's Katan is considered like Mimer. I don't know if it's analogous, but just like Bia's Katan is considered Mimer, so too is Bia Psula considered like Mimer. And what did Rabbi Nechemia in our Mishnah say? And in our Mishnah we learn, that's it. That ends the story. There's nothing after the Bia Psula, because Bia Psula, which is like Mimer, which creates a full Kenyan. Four Tanaim were of the opinion that Mimer creates a Kenyan Gamor. Rabbi Yochanan strings them together, Rabbi Gamla, Beishama, Rabbi Shema Menazai, and Rabbi Nechemia. You'll see throughout the Mishnayos. And okay, and interesting that we, in other words, we don't paskin. We paskin that Mimer is a quasi-marriage, creates a quasi-status, but not a full Kenyan. And even, just remember, Beit Shammai, when we presented him back then, Beit Shammai was, even then we modified Beit Shammai's viewpoint of Kenyan Gomer. Okay. We're on the bottom of the Amud, on an Aleph Amud base. We're turning to today's Daf, Ketzad Asa Mimer. Hai Gerach Gedhu. Gemara is just bothered by the structure of the Mishnah. We pointed this out already when we did the Mishnah, but let's just reiterate. The Mishnah back in Nun Amud Aleph, the first and only Mishnah, Mishnayos of the Perek, first introduced like the broad headlines of Get Achar Get, Mimer Achar Mimer, there isn't. And then the Mishnah goes into examples that don't involve Get Achar Get and Mimer Achar Mimer. So the Gemara says, top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Hai Get Achar Get Hu, Am Rav Yehuda Hachi Kamar, Get Achar Get, O Mimer Achar Mimer, Kedah Maran, Yavam Echa, the Yavam Acha, Ketzad Hitartan. So the Gemara just simply allows us to read the Mishnah more fluidly. And that is, that first the Mishnah tells us a broad headline of Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim argue about Get Achar Get, Mimer Achar Mimer, and then to which the Mishnah doesn't say this, but the Gemara inserts, see there for that discussion. See where for that discussion? The Braisa that we did today. Right? The Braisa on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. See there for that discussion. But now let's talk about what if there's one Yavam and one Yavama. And then the Mishnah spells out all the scenarios that Ketzad Hitartam. And then the Gemara just follows through with the rest of the Mishnah. Okay. Asa Maimer Uba'al Hareza Kimitzvasa. Remember, the Mishnah was an algorithm. Which means that the Mishnah went through every permutation of what would the Yavam do to the Yavama in a Zeh or Zeh scenario. And one of the permutations is first Mimer, then Bia. Which the Mishnah says, that's the mitzvah. Meaning good, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Now, Lema Mesayla L'Rav Huna. Presumably, our Mishnah is a great support for Rav Huna. Da'amar Rav Huna mitzvahs Yavama Mikadesh V'achar Kach Boa. Rav Huna says, it's not just Mimer's an option, it's more than that. Mimer's a mitzvah. Meaning that when you do the mitzvah of Yibum, you should be doing Mimer. Again, Maimer... Sorry. Maimer is legislated by the Chachamim. Maimer is not part of the mitzvah min ha-Torah, but once instituted by the Chachamim, now it becomes the preferable way to do it. It's a mitzvah to do so. So the Gemara says, mitzvah yivama mekash v'achar kach bo'a, ema avzu ki mitzvasa. The Gemara says, you're right, but the Mishnah is not compelling evidence. What the Mishnah could be saying is that even this way is acceptable. That's what the Mishnah could mean. Pshita sagadacha amina kevin damar maro sa maimar bivim to parcha imena zikas yivamim. V'chala alav zikas erusin. Unistuin ema alav mitzvah ka'aved kamash malan. The Gemara goes through what is an unbelievable havamina. It's a havamina. The Gemara doesn't conclude this way. But the Gemara says, here's what I might have thought without the Mishnah. Had the Mishnah said that you could do Maimer followed then by Yibum, here's what I might have thought. Once you do Maimer, I'm going to reread the language of the Gemara. Parcha himen ezikos yivamim. You know what Maimer does? It removes the whole Yibum context. Because what you did to her is you wanted to treat her like a regular wife. Which means now, no more Yibum. It's a Havamina. And Chala alav zikas erusin b'nisuin. And now what we're looking at is just simply a woman for the purposes of marriage.
But here it's not going to be an act of Yibum.
And Ema lav mitzvah ka'avid. And it's not a mitzvah. Again, it's just it's a Havamina. It's a really important Havamina. It gives us a window into what, you know, what Maimer is and what Maimer isn't. So I might have thought that Maimer creates this not quasi-kedushin, it's more. Havamina is that Maimer creates a full kedushin, which means then that we're totally no longer doing the mitzvah of Yibum, Kamash Malan.
But that's an erva, you can't do that, can he?
Right, that's correct. Again, remember, it's a Havamina. But in the Havamina, that's what the Gemara was anticipating. I don't want to spend too much time on the Havamina. It's important, but I don't want to spend too much time on the Havamina. It would seem from the Gemara. I'm leaning more towards Ben's point. It would seem from this Havamina that then if you do Maimer, you can't do Yibum.
That's an herb.
Right. In other words, the only thing that allows the Yavam to marry her is because of the mitzvah, right. And Maimer now removes the mitzvah. It's mind bending. What the Gemara is suggesting right now, and therefore there's no longer a mitzvah, and therefore you can't do anything. That's a Havamina, but obviously the conclusion is no. Meaning the Chachamim, the point is so obvious, but the Chachamim legislated Maimer, obviously, not to hurt the mitzvah, but obviously to help the mitzvah. Gufa. Gemara is going to spend a little bit more time with this idea of Maimer. So Amar Rav Huna mitzvah Yibam mekash v'achar kach boa. So Rav Huna says, you want to do the mitzvah of Yibam? So here's how it works. First, you're Mekadisher, like you would any woman, even though that's not the mitzvah in the Torah, but that's the Chachamim legislated mandate in Maimer. And then, Bia. Good. V'im bal v'asa Maimer kana. Now, if you reverse the order, okay, you were kona. Imbalva samaimer pshita da hakanya bebia. The Gemara says, right? That's the mitzvah in the Torah, bia. So elaema imbalva lo maimer kana. The Gemara's point is that if you do bia by itself, it still works. Now, what does that mean? That's the mitzvah in the Torah. That's exactly what the Torah wants us to do. So what does that mean? What is it saying that too works? The hatanya lokeh. So the Gemara says, well, I'm bothered by the fact that the Braisa says you're going to get Malkus. Malkus Mardus Midrabanan. So the Gemara says you're going to get Malkus Mardus Midrabanan. Okay. There are a number of times, in fact, today's daf, we're about to see, there are a number of times where the Chachamim have corporal punishment ability, even though you didn't violate an Isser in the Torah. Meaning, for people acting immodestly, we don't do this nowadays. For the last hundreds and thousands of years, but people acting immodestly, and when I say immodestly, I mean more than just immodest, meaning promiscuously. So the terminology the Gemara is going to use is pritzus. So then the Chachamim step in and say, look, you didn't violate an Isser Patorah per se, but that behavior is just totally unacceptable, and the Chachamim and Beis Din have the right to enforce and to invoke corporal punishment. What's called Makis Mardus.
What is it in mama out of the beard to do.
So wait,
he still did the...
No, but I understood. No, but the Havamina would be that on one hand, doing beer without mimer works, and on the other hand, you're going to get malchus for inappropriate behavior.
So by doing mimer afterward,
that's right. That,
why shouldn't he get malchus?
No, the Gemara dismissed that. The Gemara says that that wasn't the point. The point is that even though you're getting malchus, it still works. The Rav Mangin, and now the Gemara gives us a list of things that people get malchus for. Rav Mangin mandi mikash bebia. Number one, and probably the most popular, is that we know the first Mishnah in Kiddushin says that there are three ways to affect Kiddushin. Kesef, Shtar, Ubiya. Okay? Kesef actually is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah. That's learned through Gzeirah Shavah. Shtar and Ubiya are mentioned explicitly in the Torah. Okay. Shtar is a little trickier, but anyway. But meanwhile, so that means that if a man wants to affect Kiddushin with a woman, so he can do it in one of three ways. Rav says, we're going to take away the third option. Now, we're not going to take it away, meaning if the Torah allows it, obviously it works, but Rav says we're going to seriously frown upon the third method of Kiddushin, and that's Kiddushin with Bia. Now, when I say frown upon it, so it's more serious than just the Chachamim frowning. Malchus Mardus, for someone who is Mekadosh Bia. And again, just it's so interesting, meaning that on one hand, the Torah allows it, on the other hand, the Chachamim are going to punish for anyone who does something which the Torah allows. But again, that's part of Torah Shabbat Peh. The Chachamim have that kind of legislative ability. Oman de Mekash Beshuka. Someone is Mekash woman in the marketplace. Okay, aside, romance aside. It's not modest to do the Kiddushin in the marketplace. Manda Mekash below Shiduchim, someone who's Mekash a woman without Shiduchim. Shiduchim over here, not the modern way it's understood. Right? The Shiduchim over here means some terms of agreement before the marriage of your family's going to put this much money into the marriage, my family's going to put in this much money, the parents get together. In other words, an understanding, a specific understanding of what's going to be everyone's input into the marriage. In other words, marriage just simply shouldn't just happen, not spontaneously. In other words, but there should be planning and thinking behind the marriage. Someone who's mavato get. When we get to the fourth parak of Gittin, so we're going to see this in detail, but what a person can do, and obviously the Gemara over here is saying, the Chachamim condemn the action, but what a person can do is after having delivered the get, he can then nullify the get even after it's been sent an en route to his wife. We'll discuss that more of that in the fourth parak of Gittin. Uman de maser moda agita. Let's say a person is being forced and he makes a declaration. I'm being forced to give a get. I'm not giving this get willingly. So again, that person is going to get lashed. Which, by the way, he probably was he was already getting lashed to try to encourage him to give the get. But if he then puts a moda, he serves notice. I was forced. I was put under duress to give the get. So malchus as well. Uman de pakir shlicha de rabbanan. Let's say somebody was an emissary of the Chachamim of Beis Din, and you mistreat him, so also you have malchus to look forward to. Uman de shay shamta de rabbanan la tilsin yamin. Person behaved in such a way that the rabbis put an excommunication on him. Remember excommunication? We discussed that at length in the third parak of Moed Katan. So let's say you're now excommunicated, and it doesn't seem to bother you. 30 days go by and you're still just whistling a tune, walking through the street, not seeming to be bothered by the fact that you're in Cherem now for over 30 days. So along will come Beis Din and the show trim and the policeman of Beis Din, and once again you have Malchus Mardus to look forward to. Okay, he doesn't come to Beis Din. He's a real recalcitrant. Next, va'al chasna d'dar bebei chamoi. So, and finally, the chasna who lives in his mother-in-law's house with a suspicion that he's going to be with his mother-in-law. So, d'dar in de chalaf lo. So, the Gemara says, now, The problem is living in your mother-in-law's house. Passing through, however, seems to be okay. So the Gemara says, "Ahu dechalef abavet debechamoy v'nagde Rav Sheshes." So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes gave somebody malchus. He wasn't living with his in his in-law's house, but every now and then he stopped by, and Rav Sheshes bothered him so much that he, corrective measures. You like that, corrective measures. So So the Gemara says, no, there's a story behind the story. There was already suspicion between this particular person and that particular mother-in-law, and that's why Rosh Hashanah enforced. Now, Rav we have another version. Naharda says the list is not that exhaustive. Rav did meet corporal punishment, but only for a violation of kiddushin bebiyah, and also for kiddushin without an understanding a term of agreement prior to the marriage, right? Well, forgive me for saying this, but a pro forma agreement between husband and wife. Okay, I understand they're not going into a business, but still, the igadami afilu b'shiduchinami mishum pritzusa, and according to another version, even if the man was mekash bebia with shiduchim, meaning it wasn't spontaneous, it wasn't just their emotions got the best of them, they actually planned out here's how the marriage is going to look, and then he was mekash bebia, still Rav said that it's just inappropriate to be mekash a woman through the method of kiddush of bia, and therefore he meted out lashes. Tana Rabbanan, we're in the middle of Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Ketzad Maimer, Nasla Kesef, Shava Kesef, Vishtar, I'm sorry, Shava Kesef. How do you do Maimer? I know we're 52 blad into the Masechta. And now, and finally, the Gemara says, and how do you do Maimer? Right, we've been discussing it in such an abstract of what does Maimer do, what does Maimer not do. But now, Lamaisa, how do you do it? So the answer is very simple. So simple. It's Kiddushin. So the way you do Maimer is the same way you do Kiddushin. So you give her money or you give her Shava Kesef. Uvishtar Ketzad, now can you do it with a document as well? To which the Gemara immediately perks up. Ishtar Ketzad Kedamara, what do you mean with Ishtar? Again, it's Kedushin. So you're going to do it the same way you do Kedushin. You write Ishtar Kedushin, see the beginning of Masechta Kedushin, the first paragraph where the Gemara goes through the details of how to write up Ishtar Kedushin, and however it works regarding a woman is how it's going to work with the Yavama. So the Gemara says, "Kasavlal anir alacheres afapisha ein bo shavapruta arei atma kedushas li." The Gemara here quotes the Gemara in Kedushin, which is you write on a piece of paper, "Arei atma kedushas li." Am Rabbi Achi, Kam Rabbi says that wasn't the question of the brisa, but shtar ksuvas yavama ketzad. How do you write a ksuva for yavama? So kasavlal, we saw this earlier in the Masechta, but let's see it again. On a plane by parni kabel diat plus yavamti alai lazona lefarnas karai. I'm taking the Yavama. I'm going to support her. I'm going to provide for her. But in terms of the settlement, upon death or divorce, she's entitled to a settlement of whatever money was agreed to. So that will be secured by the first husband's properties. And then you remember, we discussed earlier, what if the first husband didn't have any properties? What if he died penniless? So then the second husband, the brother, has to secure his properties. I assume it just transfers. Why am I guessing? The Gemara says it. That if there was no money for the first husband, the second husband has to secure his property as a ksuva, and the reason explains the Gemara is shalotei kal lahotzia, meaning one of the fundamental reasons behind ksuva is so that the husband does not react emotionally to any type of turbulence in the marriage. Okay. In order to explain the upcoming lines of Gemara, so let me just give a quick background, and then a quick introduction, and let's begin. We have noted already a number of times that a get is effective in the world of Yibum, right? But that's a din d'rabbanan. Meaning that's not a din d'oraisa. In other words, by yibum, what do? Marriage is accomplished through bia, and severance is accomplished through chalitza. And get, because it generally works, we said this in the beginning of our parak, because get generally works, so therefore the rabbis infused it with status, even in a yibum context. And essentially what the Gemara now wants to do is, we know the strike zone. The strike zone is that if you give her a get, if the yavam gives his yavam a get, that's it. It begins the severance process. What if he gives her a get, which under normal circumstances is kind of an okay get, questionable get? So now basically we're going to paint the corners. Okay. I know, Hattie, you don't like these. You don't like these baseball analogies, huh?
Tonight wouldn't work on a regular woman. You can't give a get tonight.
Good. Okay, so you've done this before. Okay, good. So what we're going to do now is we're going to wonder out loud. The Gemara's going to wonder out loud. What if the Yavam gives her a get, which under normal circumstances either is questionable or, more to the point, it doesn't even work? So let's see. That's where the Gemara's going with this discussion. He hands her a get. The Yavam hands the Yavam a get, and he says, look, you're going to be divorced from me, but you're not permitted to anybody else. Okay. Now, that is a get with strings attached. Okay, when we get to Gittin, we're going to see this a number of times in the Sechta. The get has to be no strings attached. There has to be a full severance. The get must be by definition. That's how the Torah describes the get, a sefer krisos. It must create a full separation between man and woman. And so here, he writes the get with strings attached. So ma'u get yivama derabanu, get the mahani beishas ish mahani biyavama, get the la mahani beishas ish la mahani biyavama. So what do you want to say? In general, this get has no status in a regular get scenario, so therefore in a yibam scenario, therefore should be nothing. Or on the other hand, look, the whole idea of get in the world of yibam is the derabanan idea. So maybe the chachamim expand the definition of a get in a yibam scenario.
What would they do?
The question's valid. Just give me a moment. So the Gemara says it looks enough like a get where it's going to start the severance process. Now, why should that be? So let's see. We have to see more Gemara. Gemara says, I understand. You're really going to expand the definition of get? Let's say the Yavam hands the Yavam a piece of paper. Nothing on it, just a piece of paper. You want to tell me, hey, that looks like a get. Okay, the beginning of the severance process. Okay, that's, we're going to call that a get. In other words, you can't call anything you want a get. The only thing we're going to call a get is something that resembles, reflects, looks like, and under normal circumstances would behave like a get. So over here, if he's writing a get with strings attached, in general, that's not a get. So why are in the world of Yibam, are you ready to look at that and say, hey, that's a get? Or that looks enough like a get? So the Gemara explains. So the Gemara says, The Gemara says, look, a get with strings attached, even though that's not a get, it's got what's called a reach get. If this is the first time you've heard this terminology, you're going to hear it a number of times as we get to Masech the Gittin. The time we learned in the Bais of Isha Grusha Misha lo yikachu, you deliver a woman a get with strings attached, even though the get says, hey, you're divorced from me, but you can't marry anyone else. And even though that get is not a get, it smells enough like a get that she has now a grusha. She has now a grusha status. She can't marry a kohen.
So, if the husband dies suddenly and the...
Correct. That's exactly the point. In other words, it's what's called a reach get. And because it has a reach get, therefore, in a yibum scenario, that's why it's treated like a get. Amrami bar chamari amramar echel alav la kasuv get la rusasi ule chesha ech nasen agasha na arayz again mimnei shibiyad lagarsha. Another getting concept, which we're going to just deal with very quickly, because it's again we're just painting the corners over here. If a man is already meureses to a woman, and again this is not mentally healthy. But he says to the lavla, he says to the sofer, write a get, because immediately after the chuppah, I'm going to hand her a get. Oddly enough, that get is effective. Why? Turn the page, then Beis Amud Beis. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. Mimne should be Yadu Lagarsha, because he can divorce her currently. In other words, they've already went through the stage of Erisin. Erisin is marriage. First stage, but nevertheless marriage. So because he can divorce her now, he can plan for a divorce after the chuppah. Ulisha Ba'ama ain't get. But if he says to the lavlar, to the sofer, look, I'm not married to her, I'm not even restless to her. But I'd like to marry her, but at the same time, I don't want the marriage to last. Again, it's not obvious. We're just dealing with this from a very clinical standpoint of, does this get work or does it not work? And the answer is, it does not. Ein get mimnesha ein biyadu lagarsha. He does not have the power to be megarisha. So he's not, right? In other words, he's currently not married, so he can't write a get now based on future. Now, by Rami Bar Chama, so let's just conclude today with this. Le'evimto mahu. What if he did this for his Yavama? Now here, the Gemara's question is really unclear. Meaning, he's writing a get for post-Yibum? Maybe. But, Kevin de Agida be Karusa Sodamya, do we treat the marriage like an Arusa? Or no, because he didn't do Mimer yet, and therefore we're not going to look at it as an Arusa as of yet, and therefore he can't pre-write the get. Teiku, the Gemara leaves this question too unresolved. One of those, it's like the big theme of the Masechta. Right, what is the nature of the relationship between the Yavam and Yavama? Yeah.